that I might not become too elated because of the abundance of revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me. It's fascinating, really. I don't think Paul meant he literally had a thorn in his side for decades. That would probably grow septic and poisonous and probably would have killed him. And then he wouldn't have been executed by the Romans. But genuinely, this poetic language, this thorn in his side, this limitation of himself, it's truly a revealing moment in so many ways. Paul expresses to the people of God that he knows he has this glaring limitation. And it hurts him at times. Maybe not physically, but it hurts him. And it's a moment that truly is worthy of so much consideration. And in this moment, Paul actually comes face to face with a moment of self-reflection that says that he knows he's weak. I don't know exactly what it is. His thorn in his flesh could be any number of things. You can speculate that he could have anything from struggling with hubris or pride. He could have had an addiction that he struggled with. Or he might have just had children. Who knows? I mean, that thorn in the flesh could be any number of things. And then just in all of its possibilities. And I was thinking about this in so many ways. And I think of there was a moment when I remember when I was growing up, I was a teenager, probably about 14 or 15 at the time, and I remember just being very angry. I was mad about all the things that I couldn't do, or I wasn't as good as some other people, or sometimes it was just as simple as knowing that I wasn't as good as my siblings at certain things, and I was very self-involved. It was a very selfish moment. I was very self-involved. And in that selfishness, I just remember being very, very upset about all the things that I couldn't do, and not in a self-challenging sort of way, but just I decided to blame everyone else because I wasn't good enough to change who I was in certain ways. And I remember I went up to my bedroom, my brother was there. We shared a room. I shared a room with two little brothers, but the older of the two younger brothers was in there. And we fought a lot. We really did. And we fought over all kinds of silly and little things, but he's just 4 years younger than I was. And apparently that day, he also was very mad at a lot of things and really, really struggling with just how to really wrestle with all these things. And I think we both had our last nerve, and he was sure that, this was the day that he was not gonna take this from me anymore. He was almost starting to come into teenage years, or he was just starting teenage years, and he was sure that he was gonna prove that he wasn't gonna take this from me anymore, and this was the day it was gonna happen. We started arguing more and more, and then it finally happened. He balled his hand into a fist, and he slugged me just as hard as he could. And I absorbed it completely. And a look of fear came over those eyes of resentment as he looked up at me. And I remember time slowing down as I reached my hand back. And I started to come down. And somewhere in the back of my mind, the thought occurred to me, there is no way that I am not going to be the one blamed for this. And I hit him, and he kind of collapsed into the ground. I didn't hit him that hard, but he didn't want to take a second hit, so he kind of went down fast. And I remember in that moment, I remember two things. First, I remember I was going to be in a lot of trouble later, just as soon as he ran off and told Mom, but that wasn't my first concern. Actually, my concern in that moment was I had been so focused on me. I had been so focused on my own selfishness, on my own self-desire, on my own self-glory. And yet, here was my brother, lightly crying on the floor, who was actually struggling with the exact same thing. And that if either of us had taken a moment to actually look outside of ourselves for even the briefest moment, we could see that it wasn't just this self-struggle, it wasn't just our own limitations that were actually holding us back. It was our unwillingness to actually be honest with ourselves and to see who we were in that moment. It was a very powerful one. I didn't think of this passage at the time. I was a stupid kid, but I later came to this. And really, I thought about this in so many ways, because what is Paul doing here? Paul's achieving incredible things. He really is. He's achieving incredible things. He is evangelizing to the entire world. He is becoming famous throughout the entire Western world. He is influencing and impacting so much of the world. He is passionate and driven, and miracles flow from his words and his hands. And He sees all of these bizarre, incredible things, and yet nothing stops him. And yet, what he sees genuinely more than everything else is his own limitation. His own knowing that by himself it's not enough. That he needs God. And genuinely, that's a challenge for all of us. Because really, if we could figure it all out on our own, if we could do it all by ourselves, why would we be here at all? Why would we need God? There's actually an incredible reminder to each of us that actually in this weakness, in our limitations, in our flaws, in our inability, we have our greatest strength in God. We have this great reminder that God not only is there for us, watching over us, and giving us that strength in our weakness, empowering us to greatness even in our smallness. And then if we can take that moment to step far enough outside of ourselves to see exactly where it is that God works in our life, we can be truly amazed at the wonderful gifts that we have been given. It's an incredible weekend to think about this. We celebrate a wonderful secular holiday. And it is. It's a secular holiday. I mean, it's not church's holiday by any stretch of the imagination, but in so many ways it is so very important for our church. We celebrate independence of actually our ability to exercise this freedom to practice our faith. Don't get me wrong, there's lots of other freedoms we can count on as citizens of the United States, but we're in church, and I'm going to talk about freedom of religion. How about that? I know it's a surprising moment there, but we are given an incredible gift in this, that we can freely gather and have this opportunity to worship, to live into a life of faith, and to live into this moment where we can see that even with our own limitations, we need something more to watch over us, to guide us, and to guard us in these things. And what a profound and truly wonderful thing it is that we can have this. And sure, our nation has its thorns in its side, if you will, its limitations, its faults. It's not flawless by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not sure I'd want to live somewhere else, though. It is a truly remarkable gift that we can see the greatness contained therein, that we might see this great gift. This great gift in that God answers all prayers. He really does. Paul actually gives us a wonderful moment of revelation here, because we actually get a very clear view into how God answers prayers. See, the fact of the matter is, there are actually three possible answers we can get when we pray for things. Sometimes we pray for things. We pray and we pray and we ask God for something. And sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he gives us exactly what we ask for. May not be actually what we wanted, but it is what we ask for, and God, in a sense of humor, actually gives us what we ask for. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes we pray for it, and we ask for God to help us with that. We ask for God to help us and watch over us and guide us. And we're, you know, there's that thing that we can't conquer on our own, that we need help to get over. We need assistance to make more of, to just get past. And he says no. He says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. You gotta rely on my grace for this. There's a third answer, by the way. Sometimes God says wait. Sometimes God says wait because he has something greater that he wants to bring fulfillment, and we have to have the patience to see it through. Sometimes God says wait because we're not fully ready to receive what it is that we're asking of God, and he won't give it to us before we're fully ready, or as ready as we're going to be to receive it. Whatever the reason may be, sometimes God just says, wait. The challenge falls to us now. Whatever that thorn is in our side, whatever that limitation is that we encounter, whether we think it's an inability that we have, or we lack a certain skill that we think we should have, or we're so convinced that we need a particular person or a particular loss, or whatever it is, that challenge we're encountering, that pain, that loss, that frustration, that limitation, that lack that we think we have, whatever it is, continue to pray for God. Continue to ask God to remove that limitation, to remove that block, that struggle, that difficult point in our lives. But then there's the challenge. We have to be ready for the answer. Sometimes God will say yes, and that difficulty will be removed, and we rejoice in it. Sometimes God says no. He says, you're going to have to rely on my grace right now. And sometimes God says, wait. And we have to be patient. He's never given me a timeline when he says to wait, so it's a little more frustrating. But he says, wait. And if we are able, if we are willing to hear the answer as it is, then rest assured, God answers each and every one of our prayers. The challenge for us is, are we ready to receive the answer he gives us?